Trigger warning. The following episode contains references to gore, animal cruelty, human suffering, mental conditions, death, factual inaccuracies, several entitled people making light of all these things. If any of the aforementioned topics cause you discomfort, you may want to listen to a different episode.
It's super looper colliestic slap you with a goat strip. I'm Andy.
Man, this holiday hasn't been the same since I got rid of the revenge fires. I'm Adam.
Exchange flowers, huh? Well, I guess we'll save on dry cleaning. I'm Kelly.
Nothing says I love you like a face full of bees. I'm Sean, and this is Acid Pop. Hello, everyone, and welcome to Acid Pop. I'm glad you stopped by, because I wanted to take this moment to say I love you. Because it's almost Valentine's Day here in America, so we're doing a special episode on Valentine's Day.
Aww.
Hooray! As is American tradition, I would like you to give me chocolate, and then I will give you back chocolate if I like you a month later.
Just the ones I didn't eat. So, there's not a lot of science or etymology for Valentine's Day.
There's no science behind Valentine's Day?
No, unfortunately not. But there is philophobia, which is the fear of love. That comes from the Greek philos, which means loving. And this is often expressed by people in arranged marriages.
Oh.
So here's how this tends to go down. You're in an arranged marriage, and it's super important that you marry this guy, but you're not really into him. So you get married, and then you spend the rest of that marriage that you're not really into worrying like, oh, crap, what if I run into the love of my life and I leave this guy? And that'll be really bad for my village or family or whatever. So that's the traditional expression of philophobia.
You made it sadder than I was going to make it.
Well, I just think it's interesting because we often on the show talk about phobias and philias. So this is a philia-phobia, which makes me wonder if there's a phobia-philia.
You got your philia in my phobia.
You got your phobia in my philia.
I thought you were going to say that they're afraid of falling in love with the person that they had the arranged marriage with. And no. I was thinking, that seems like it'd be convenient, but I guess it could be a problem.
So since there's not much else, we're going to get straight into our Acid Pop quiz. So true or false?
All right, a love quiz.
Yep.
Love quizzes.
Good. Valentine's Day was established as a day for lovers in 1921.
Oh, I thought it was going to be a quiz all about me.
Kelly was established in 1921. I'm going to say false. I'm going to say it's sooner than that.
Yeah.
Or rather later than that. Sorry.
More recent.
Yep.
I'm also going to say false, but I think it's older.
I'm going to say true. I feel like that sounds just about right.
Yeah.
All right. We have every answer possible, except false that it doesn't exist.
No such thing as Valentine's Day. So when I started doing the research for this episode, I had thought that Valentine's was essentially a Hallmark holiday, that it was basically just made up to sell cards and candy. It turns out that's not the case. It was actually established in the 14th century by
Screw you, Andy. See, I was going off the assumption that it was also a Hallmark holiday.
Yeah, so apparently not.
He established it.
I'll get into it.
Okay.
But that'll be a little later. So, true or false, more chocolate is consumed on Valentine's Day than Halloween in the U.S.
Hmm. I'm going to say true because the parents get into the Valentine's Day.
I'm going to say false. I mean, I feel like a lot more people participate in Halloween than in Valentine's Day.
I feel like it's also false. Like, that's a lot of candy gets handed out on Halloween.
Yeah, but the thing is, on Halloween, it's all kinds of candy. Or Valentine's, it's either chalky hearts or chocolate, and nobody but me likes the chalky hearts.
They're not so great.
It's because nobody likes to choke on chalk.
It is, in fact, false.
Damn it.
So there are roughly 58 million pounds consumed on Valentine's Day and roughly 90 million pounds on Halloween.
God, we're killing ourselves.
Yeah.
On one day.
Is that worldwide?
Nope, that's just in the U.S.
Oh, God.
Yep.
This is why the cocoa bean is going extinct.
So fill in the blank. Saint Valentine was a martyr. So he died in what year?
How the heck am I supposed to know?
You said 14th century, so...
That's when Valentine's Day was established. Yep.
After Christ was born, because he was a martyr.
Can you be posthumously named a martyr?
Yes.
I'm going to say 851 BCE.
Okay.
What was it?
Oh, no, not BCE. CE.
Say, clearly Andy's not listening to Kelly.
CE.
What number did you say?
851.
851.
Do not price of write me on this.
852. No.
You!
Let's go. Let's just do 1,000 even.
Okay.
I feel like my Catholic upbringing is betraying me on this one. I really have no idea. I'm going to go earlier. I'm going to say 500 CE.
Actually, nobody went back far enough. 269.
Huh.
There's actually some confusion about St. Valentine because there were several people around that time who had the name Valentine. Like, it's not actually all that special of a name. You just run into people sometimes that are named Valentine. Several of them were martyrs. They died for various reasons. So this is just sort of like one. This is the one that some historians think is most likely where St. Valentine's and Valentine's Day came from. But this particular one, he did die on February 14th in 269 in Rome. And what had been going on is he was performing Christian weddings for Roman soldiers who weren't allowed to be married yet. He was thrown in jail. And then the emperor himself came and tried to convert Valentine to paganism. At the same time, Valentine was trying to convert the emperor to Christianity. So the emperor's like, clearly, we're just going to have to agree to disagree. So I'm going to chop off your head.
I have a way of proving I'm right. And it's you have to stop talking.
Yeah.
Look, let's agree to disagree. Also, can you lay down right here for a second?
So St. Valentine was the traditional sort of category of a saint, which means he performed a miracle. What miracle did he perform?
He turned a heart into chocolate.
Oh, while it was still in a man.
Fatality.
That would be pretty cool.
I'm going to say something to do with love. He found someone's long-lost love he was a soldier. He went out on a boat, and he was like, I can find your love. And he tossed a coin in the air, and it hit him. And the lady was like, my husband.
I mean, traditionally, miracles are healing-related. So I'm going to say he healed
a broken heart.
Healed someone from leprosy.
You're right. He did heal somebody. But there was a jailer in the prison he was being held in who had a blind daughter, and he cured her sight and made it so she could see again.
I get half a point.
His name was John Coffey Valentine.
And before he was executed, he wrote this girl he'd helped a letter, and he signed it, Your Valentine, which is where we get that sort of tagline to the end of all the Valentine's Day cards.
How very melancholy.
I've never healed anyone's sight. Now I don't feel like I can use that sign off.
Well, just if you're a saint. In Norfolk, there is a Santa Claus or Easter Bunny equivalent for Valentine's Day. What do you think it is? And what does it do?
It's Cupid, and he shoots arrows.
Yeah.
Yes. It is a brownie that leaves chocolate in your lover's shoes.
Like, goddamn brownie was back.
Ah!
Says, is it Valentine's Day?
I love you.
Can't stay mad at that brownie.
I'm going to say it's a pair of lovebirds who together deliver little boxes of chocolate to lovers. And they carry it in their little birdie feet.
Oh, they're leaving their lover droppings all over the place.
Kelly and Andy got what it does, but it is actually Jack Valentine.
Wow, he sounds cool.
He sounds like a secret agent.
Yeah.
Da-da-da.
But all Jack Valentine does is he knocks on the back door of a house. When you go to the back door, he's not there, but a heap of, candy is.
Can we just make a Jack Bandit reference?
We got hit by Jack Valentine.
Do you have to be a good boyfriend or girlfriend for Jack Valentine to visit you? Does he have a list he checks twice?
Well, Jack Valentine visits kids, so it doesn't really have anything to do with traditional Valentine's Day things. It's just an excuse to eat candy.
He needs a better marketer because I've never heard of him.
Yeah.
Oh, but now we have Adam. We have to become a marketing team for like a candy company, and we can create this character of Jack Valentine.
Just like Coke did.
So I'll tell you, St. Valentine is the saint of lovers, but that was sort of tacked on later. So can you name any of the other things that he's a saint for?
I'm going to say a saint for the blind.
Yeah.
That makes sense.
Could also be the saint of marriage.
Saint of confectionaries.
I like marriage, but I worry that's too close to lovers.
No.
Saint of prisoners. Although just about every Christian saint was in prison at one point or another.
Well, nobody got any of them, actually. He was additionally the saint of beekeepers, the plague, and epilepsy.
He had a diverse range of interests. It's good to be well-rounded. Yep.
The saint of epileptic beekeepers.
We'll get into it a little bit later, but Valentine was just sort of like a, I don't know what you call him, but if they needed a saint and nobody could think of anybody appropriate, they just sort of stuck Valentine in there and just like, okay, now you're the saint of bees. Yep, bees. See,
I always feel like the saints were a trick to teach young Catholic children like really gory stories and be like, look, all these cool Christians.
So now we're on to our terms. What does it mean to be canonized?
That means to be made a saint.
Oh, I was hoping you guys would do more. It had the word canon in it.
That's when you get shot out of a cannon to become a martyr.
That's what they did with St. Valentine's head.
Happy Valentine's Day.
But yeah, you guys all got it. Maybe it was just me. Like, I didn't have a religious upbringing, so I never heard this term. But yeah, it just means to be made a saint after death.
I didn't either. Read a book.
You have to be beautified first. There's like multiple steps to sainthood.
Yeah.
Gentrified.
But it seems like a lot of them are cheats these days. So,
so what is Lupercalia?
Lupercalia.
That's the cholera that Joseph Gordon-Levitt got when he killed his future self.
Yep, it is. I'm going to say Lupercalia is puppy love.
I'm going to say it's some sort of mania, some sort of like brain illness that's characterized by like stalking and obsession, falling in love with everyone you see.
Well, no, actually, Lupercalia was a Roman holiday of fertility, and it was held on February 15th. So,
man, I love Lupercalia.
Valentine's Day was a sort of pagan-friendly holiday to coerce pagans into Christianity. Yeah. So this is that thing
one
where
those
like,
holidays
where Christians would go to another religion and be like, "Oh, tell me all about this holiday of yours." Like, we have something just like that. It's called this. And then they'd
Adam says, "Oh, one of those holidays." As though every holiday isn't one of those holidays.
Martin Luther King Day isn't, Andy.
No. You got to look back.
So that's the end of our quiz, but we'll just go straight into it here. So first thing I wanted to do was talk about this Lupercalia and how we got from Lupercalia to Valentine's Day and what Lupercalia was all about, because it's a pretty crazy festival. So Lupercalia...
Is it like Bacchanalia?
Well, we'll find out. So Lupercalia was a festival that took place in a place called the Lupercal Cave. There was a priesthood called Lupreci, and this was typically men between the ages of 20 and 40. And on February 15th, a goat and a dog were brought to the cave. And both of these were symbols of fertility.
Goats and dogs.
Yeah. So the chief priest would sacrifice the goat and the dog, and then two young Lupreci would approach the priest, and then they would be smeared across the forehead with the blood of both animals.
Here.
They were then instructed to smile and or laugh, whichever they could bring themselves to do at that point.
Whatever you feel like what you want to do.
And then they would cut long strips from both of the animals. They would take these long strips and go running naked through the town.
Yeah, Lupercalia.
Like flag football. If you can grab the strip, you can have a baby.
Well, no, it's the other way around, actually. If they ran into anyone while running around, they would swip them with these long strips of flesh. And so this was sort of a big deal at the time. So people would actually sort of try to get in their way so that they could be whipped.
Got a whole defensive line running through town.
Yep. And it was sort of considered good luck, especially for pregnant women. It was supposed to help you with the delivery if you got whipped with a slice of animal flesh on Lupercalia.
Honey, I got run down by a naked man and then whipped. We're going to have a baby.
I do hear that goat blood is just great for developing fetuses.
I mean, you would know, I guess.
What do you think I drink every morning?
So once the boys finished their lap, there would be a big feast in the town, and that was Lupercalia.
This is less fun than Bacchanalian.
So Saint Valentine was sort of associated with flowers because he was the saint of beekeepers. So in the 14th century, Geoffrey Chaucer went to the pagans and said, "Hey, you know what's better than all that? How about we just give each other flowers on that day?"
Bees!
And everyone was so tired of getting covered in rancid goat blood that they were like, you know, that doesn't sound like a bad idea.
So yeah, from there it sort of went from flowers to love letters to
bee beards
to candy and just being nice to people. So we couldn't do a Valentine's Day episode without talking about the Valentine's Day Massacre.
Which, you know, I at one point I knew what this was about, and then it's lost to time.
They don't really teach it in history class.
Yeah, I honestly didn't really know that much about it. It's sort of you know, you hear about it. It's the Valentine's Day Massacre. But reading about it, it wasn't, you know, as far as things go, all that big a deal. But let me just tell you the story of how this all went down. In the 1920s, gangs were making a ton of money thanks to Prohibition.
Thanks, Prohibition.
Yeah. So there was a windfall for gangs at the time. So they were running bootleg alcohol and speakeasies, and they were just raking it in. They were so greedy, though, that they didn't really want to share all this money with other gangs. So there was this, like, constant gang wars of trying to, you know, be the only speakeasy and bootlegger in town. So in 1925, mob boss Johnny Torrio retired after a failed assassination attempt left him seriously wounded. He left control of the gang to the ambitious young upcomer, Al Scarface Capone.
I feel like I've heard that name before.
Yeah.
It's his Christian name.
Yeah. So one of Capone's main goals after he took over was to eliminate all the other competition by any means necessary. In 1924, there were 16 gang-related deaths. Those rose steadily as Capone got a foothold, and by 1929, there were 64 gang-related deaths.
He was really good at what he did, and what he did was not nice.
Yeah, and the most infamous was on February 14th. Competing mob boss George Bugs Moraine had a bootleg operation in a garage on the north side of Chicago. So several of the members of Capone's gang dressed as police officers and raided the garage. So under the pretense of processing the gang members, they lined up the seven gang members against a wall. But once they were lined up, they just opened fire on them.
Pretty effective, I think.
Yeah.
Not very sporting.
So over 70 rounds were fired and the seven men were killed.
Ooh, 10 per man.
Yeah. This event, like many others, couldn't be pinned on Capone, and there were no charges filed.
So, said I wasn't there.
Yeah, he was in Florida at the time. He just ordered the strike, but nobody could ever pin it on him. But this event in particular got him firmly on the bad side of law enforcement. After this, federal agents took an interest in Capone and spent several years just basically throwing everything at him to see what stuck. But honestly, not much ever stuck. Capone spent less than 10 years in jail, and he actually died at home in 1947. He went to jail three times, once for carrying a concealed weapon, once for contempt of court, and once for tax evasion.
Wasn't he in Alcatraz?
Yeah, he was. But yeah, he went to jail for tax evasion the last time, and when he got out, he was like, yeah, I guess I'm done with this whole thing, and just retired, basically. So really, nothing horrible ever happened to Capone as a result of killing all these people.
It sounds like he was just inconvenienced.
Yeah, pretty much.
I'll go on the rack, see?
Sounds like if you're going to be a mob boss, you can commit a lot of crimes, but don't try impersonating an officer.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like at this point, he's killed a bunch of people, and then they're like, hey, you just gave us a bad name.
Yeah. Killing mobsters is our job. There's sort of a myth about Christmas, and that Christmas is the, at least in America, the season with the highest rate of suicides. But it's actually not the case. It's much more in the spring.
Hmm.
There's several theories on this, but Valentine's Day is a big contributor to that. People don't like being alone on Valentine's Day. In February 2005, Gerald Crean started a chat room where he invited people to kill themselves on Valentine's Day.
Hey now.
Yeah.
Thank God for the internet. Nothing bad ever happens there.
Gerald, I'm disappointed in you.
So more than 30 people agreed, and some people agreed to come over to his house so that they could all hang themselves together. This sort of sparked a worldwide hunt by the authorities to track down people who had agreed to kill themselves and try and stop them from doing it. Some of the people that had agreed were mothers who had also agreed to kill their kids before they killed themselves.
What are you doing, Gerald?
Yeah, seriously. So several people were arrested, including Crean. But fortunately, in the aftermath, no one actually committed suicide at this time. Several people that were in the chat room thought it was a joke and were just playing along, I guess.
Yeah, let's play along here.
Yeah, to me that doesn't seem like the sort of thing that you ought to joke about, but there's a lot of horrible people on the internet.
And the danger is always the people who don't think it's a joke.
Yeah, right. Yeah. You don't really want to be part of that. But Crean was sentenced to 20 years in a mental institution. And I won't really go into the details, but when he went to court, there was a lot of messed up stuff with this guy. He's a pretty twisted fella, so it's probably best that he's getting some help.
I haven't heard this one.
Okay, from the suicide to the happy stories.
Yeah. So why don't we end our stories on a slightly lighter note? So this was a tradition that happened in France, and it was called the Loterie d'Amour, which literally means the lottery of love. Here's how this would work. You'd find a pair of houses that were across the road from each other and had a lot of windows. Then the men would all load up in one house and women would all load up in another. And the names of all the women in the house were put into basically a hat. The men would then draw a name out of the hat and they would call out the name of the woman. And then the woman, you know, two cheers and things, would come out into the road and be like, "Hey, here I am." And this is like, "We're going to have a date. This is going to be us together." But at this point, the men had an opportunity to be like, "Can I draw another name?"
Oh, no. Now that you've been called out publicly.
Yeah. So the men would say, like, "Yeah, I think I'll draw another name out of the hat." So this would go on until all the men were satisfied and the remaining women were royally pissed off.
Nobody wanted very plain bucktooth Clarice.
So over the years of the tradition, the women took up the tradition of, after this, they would get together, make a big bonfire, and then burn pictures or things of the men who had rejected them throughout the day.
Yeah.
So these revenge fires got so unruly that the French government officially banned the tradition of Loterie d'Amour, and it hasn't happened since.
Led into spiteness.
Yeah, seriously.
It's called a key party now.
Yeah, I don't see what the women were getting out of that game.
Yeah.
No, see, and I thought maybe the women would have the right to be the one like,
No, my name's Mary.
I was just wandering out into the street. I thought I dropped something.
Oh, no, I live here. I don't know what all these other women are doing in the house.
What are you all doing at my house?
So that was all the stories I had. Anybody have any personal stories about Valentine's Day gone wrong?
Gone wrong? Oh. I mean...
There was one time I went to Macaroni Grill on a whim for lunch, and it's just me by myself at Macaroni Grill eating lunch. And then I looked around like, man, there's a lot of Valentine's Day decorations up. I guess that's getting close. What day is it today?
Poor Adam.
Whoops.
Did they give you a free dessert?
No, just pitying looks.
The tears make the balsamic oil and balsamic vinegar and oil make the bread even better. I mean, for Valentine's Day, I usually just go get a big piece of meat and some sides and cook it all up for my wife and say, "Happy Valentine's Day."
Wink. Nazis.
I thought you were going to say you ran through the street whipping people with it.
Yep. I say, you're having a baby.
I'd say it's time we bring that back.
Yeah. Well, I had one. I mean, it wasn't super horrible or anything, but I had a girlfriend at one point that was really big into the idea of giving gifts. We would have our, say, 3-week anniversary, and this was an opportunity to bestow gifts upon each other. So there was just sort of a miscommunication about this. Like, she never said anything, but like, "Oh, we should celebrate and get each other something." But I never caught on that in her mind, this meant, you know, a candy bar or something. But I would always go like way over the top. So like, she would get me a new pencil and I would get her like a new pair of shoes. So I just couldn't get this straight in my head. So then Valentine's Day was coming up and I was like, "Oh, okay, here we go. We're going to have to push the boat out on this one because this girl's all about the giving gifts." So like I got her chocolates and I took her out to dinner and we went and saw a movie and I think she got me a bag of Skittles.
You do like Skittles.
I do like Skittles, yeah. There's no getting around that. But
she gets me.
I think shortly after this, I finally decided to, like, the next time some arbitrary event came up, it was like her 2-month anniversary or something, I got her something that was on the scale that she usually got me, and shortly after that we broke up. So I don't know if, like, she finally decided she couldn't milk this cow anymore, so she
Sean's offering to become a mere pittance. I did have a girlfriend that was like, she was big into gift getting.
Yeah.
So I like gift getting.
One Valentine's Day, I found a really cheap used PSP and got it for her. And she was like, oh boy, oh boy. And then she slept with one of my friends.
No.
Mm. Not a great gift in return.
No. But hey, I mean, good for him.
She's their wife of mine.
Well, I mean, I don't have any traumatic stories of our Valentine's Days together. Those have all been great.
Sean always gets me Skittles.
I don't get it.
I will say it can be awkward to be on the other side of that gift giving equation where Valentine's Day comes up and you're like, you know, we just started dating. It's been a few weeks. Doesn't seem like a big deal. Maybe we'll go out to, you know, Applebee's or something. And then you come to school and they've got flowers and candy and balloons and you have to cart them around all day and people are looking at you funny. I've definitely had that experience. And that person and myself, we broke up shortly thereafter. My favorite story, which was not a Valentine's Day story about that person, is when we broke up, I was avoiding their calls because I knew that we were going to break up, but I hadn't gotten around to breaking up. So they were calling the house repeatedly and I wasn't answering the phone. My mom and I sound a lot alike on the phone, like identical on the phone. And so my mom picks up the phone and my ex, who was not yet my ex, says, "Where have you been?"
And, I've been here at the house.
My mom was, who does not take kindly to being shouted at, said, "Excuse me?" And reported this to me with a, "That relationship needs to be over now." And I was like, "I know, I'm getting around to it."
Just very so awkward.
I mean, my wife has a story about she used to hang out at the local community college at a table that, you know, I didn't really approve of. It was like they called themselves the nerd table, and they would be just up at like this gathering area, but they'd be the loudest thing in the entire world.
Yeah.
And apparently there was a guy there that once he found out she was dating someone, called her and like, "No, you don't understand. You're my muse." And then it got crazier.
Oh.
And this is right near Valentine's Day.
Yeah.
Or he's like, "And you see, I'm a psychic who is being sponsored by angels to fight demons."
Wow.
"And without you, the demons will take over."
Oh, no. That sounds important.
It was a thing, and I was like, "Please don't accept calls from him anymore."
Or suspicious packages.
She's like, "Yeah, I've already blocked his number after that one."
Well, just a last note as a PSA, I read a book years ago that had something really interesting in it that was basically talking about working in restaurants on Valentine's Day. And if you go to a restaurant and they're having some sort of Valentine's Day special, like it's something unique for just that one day, don't go there because it's probably something that the staff has very little experience in making. So they're likely to screw it up and not do a very good job of making it. So, yeah, if you ever see Valentine's Day specials at a restaurant, try and avoid those restaurants. All right, well, if that's all the stories we have, it's time to play What Are Your Morals Worth? So, here's what we're going to do. We're going to map out a 1-mile course through your hometown.
Yeah, I knew it was going to be this.
And we're going to reenact Lupercalia. So, you don't have to kill an animal, but without announcing this to anyone else that you might encounter, you're going to have to take a naked lap through your neighborhood with a long strip of animal flesh. And if you run into anybody on your route, you're going to have to slap them with it.
None of my neighbors know me.
Not yet.
Now, does the whipping indeed grant fertility? Like, is it going to successfully help them out?
No, it was
supernatural powers to begin.
It would help pregnant women give birth, but other people, it was just good luck.
Well, does it grant good luck?
Yeah, a little. We'll say they'll have a good week.
Okay.
Do I get to pick the time of day I do this?
No. It was a feast thing, so it would happen right before dinner time.
$15. Wait, okay. I might raise my prices. Am I barefoot?
You can have shoes.
Yeah, that's only fair.
I mean, like I said, nobody around this neighborhood knows who I am. I live next to a school. Can I go the opposite direction?
See, the thing is, I'm probably going to get arrested, and it's probably going to be in the papers, and I'm going to get fired.
It's only a mile long course. I don't think the police would get there in time if you're quick enough.
Yeah, just duck back in.
Let's just say if I get caught, I'll be fired. I have to take that into consideration.
$30.
Doubling his price.
Oh, my goodness.
How bad does the goat strip smell?
It's very fresh, so not very bad. I mean, it smells like a goat, which isn't the best smell, but...
And it was a really bad-looking goat.
Do I get to pick the direction I run in?
Yeah. I mean, you can map the route, but from here, there's really nowhere, you know, uninhabited to run.
Yeah, but I could run down the main street, or I could run through the small neighborhoods that are usually pretty quiet.
Yeah.
I'm right by the police station, too.
I'm going to say 10,000.
Yeah, 10 grand?
I view it as I'm bringing back tradition.
Freedom of religion.
Bring back Lupercalus.
So I'm in Seattle, so I feel like the vegans are going to come after me, but the pagan angle is going to play pretty well.
Yeah, people don't mind naked people running around Seattle.
True,
that's
but...
That's very true.
February 14th is the wrong day for that.
Is it? Ah,
yeah, we
care.
Need, like, what's the big... There's a big one.
It's
like
solstice.
Solstice, yeah. So I'm going to say... 30,000.
30,000.
I told you I might lose my job. I need to at least replace income.
Let's see. I'm going to do a quick Google search to see. Is it illegal?
Yes.
Toplessness isn't, but nudity is.
Nude in Seattle. There's no law against being naked. There is a law against indecent exposure. All right. Well.
So, yes.
What's the difference?
Good
Sean,
question.
You're going to be a little indecent. You're covered in blood with a, like, whipping around a strip like a lasso.
Oh, let's see. As long as I can print out a set of receipts that say, call this number and I'll pay for your dry cleaning.
You just carve them into the flesh of the goat so that you leave the number like a...
Yeah, it's like a stamp.
Like stamp.
There you go. That'll save some time. I think I'd give this a shot for a few grand. Let's say 3,000? Yeah, I do that for 3,000.
Okay, 45.
$45.
Getting more and more expensive, Andy.
Hey, you better give him the job quick, Sean.
It's getting more expensive by the moment.
I know, that's I have 50 crazy. Bucks somewhere.
All right, well, I think that's going to do it for this week. I hope you all have a good St. Valentine's Day and or Lupercalia, and we'll see you next week.
Thanks to my co-hosts, and thank you so much for tuning in today. If you would like more information about today's episode, check out our website at acidpoppodcast.podbean.com. You can also find us on Twitter at acidpoppodcast and contact us at acidpoppodcast@gmail.com. Be sure to like, subscribe, and give us all the stars you can. Stay safe out there, and we'll see you next week.
Let's see if I can say this.
Apparently not.
It's super looper colliest. They slap you with a goat trip. Damn it.